VCR, what's your favorite scary movie?
I mean, I'd scream, but there are children, and I'm not waking them up.
It's my half-hearted scream.
What are you waiting for, Katie?
Hi, everyone. How are we?
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
Okay, that's all I got.
Yeah, if that doesn't give you a clue as to why we're here, then you have no idea of what we're talking about. Welcome to another Uncensored Horror Surprise Drop. Surprise. We had such a good response to our Mother's Day episode where we tackled Friday the 13th, part 1 and 2, that we thought, hey, why not give you another double dose of hot heaping horror for July 4th?
We talk about
Happy Independence Day. Happy Independence Day, y'all. We're going to talk about classic night slashers. Oh,
nothing better.
We're gonna start with it. Oh, that's right. It's the I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I mean, what everyone did last summer. We all stayed home.
Yeah,
two summers ago, that was when I was over there because all the memes are coming up. And Jeff's been sharing them. Yeah, a bit scary. So what I did that summer.
Oh, I know what I did that summer too. I was miserable and that.
Oh, well, you guys lead happy lives.
Steve Irwin, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
So yes, we are talking today about 1997's I Know What You Did Last Summer and its sequel, 1998's I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. The original movie was based on a book by Lois Duncan by the same name from 1973.
Oh,
so, the film centers around four young friends who are stalked by a hook-wielding maniac after they accidentally kill a man. Ooh!
Let this be a lesson to you as we go into the holiday weekend, folks. Don't drink and drive.
Exactly.
And don't drive away from a crime scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably shouldn't do that ever. Last ones.
Yeah, especially on a holiday.
So, Katie,
your fun fact, though, quickly, was it about Lois Duncan's novel?
Yes, she was very unpleased with the direction the movie took. She did not want it to be a horror movie because in the book, no one actually dies, not even the guy who gets hit by a car. So
yeah, it's just the guilt of what they went through that ruined their lives. So the narrative carries over, but, you know, they thought, let's kill them.
And I thought I read somewhere that her daughter was actually murdered, so that kind of upset her a little more. And I could see how that would be a bit triggering. I mean, I could be wrong. I quickly grazed over that fun fact.
I didn't get to say it before. If you haven't seen I Know What You Did Last Summer or I Still Know What You Did Last Summer or read the book, massive spoilers. So put us on pause, go watch those movies, and come back.
UCHs, whatever you want to call them, they're always full of spoilers. So if you're coming here, you've already seen the movie, you're a fan, you just want to see our take on it. And
I'm just doing my due diligence, you know? People might just have us on in the background. So one of those movies, you know, the background. Oh, I just want to watch that one. I don't want to spoil it for them. So if you haven't seen it, come back and watch it.
We can't go to the police. Not now. He's made sure of that.
You're a better fan than I am. Come back.
Okay, so let's talk about personally, when's the first time you saw I Know What You Did Last Summer, Katie?
I think probably the year it came out, probably at a slumber party, because I was the horror fan and I was trying to scare my friends, and that's what I did. I have a real fun story about I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, but I'll get to that when we get to there. But I liked this movie. I liked this a lot. When I was younger and first getting into horror, I was very into slashers. So this was one of my favorites.
Luke?
I went and saw it at the theatre, at the cinema, and I was too young to see it at the time. So I had to bring my mum, who doesn't love horror film at all. But surprisingly, she really enjoyed the narrative of this film. She actually said, look, that was probably as good as they can get. She enjoyed the characters and the drama that went with all the killing.
I guess, yes. Am I the only one that has a mama that likes horror? Because my mom.
Yes, you are the only one.
Oh, my mom got me into horror, so there's that.
Good for you to being younger, Katie.
Yeah, my experience is very much the same as Luke's. We were too young to see it when it came out in the cinemas here in Australia. So I bribed my mother into going to see it, not telling her what the movie actually was. I just told her it was a comedy. When the title started, she goes, this isn't a comedy, isn't it? I'm like, no. Yeah. And she sat through the whole thing, jumped, screamed, did everything. And then at the end, after the end credit rolls, she looked at me and said, when's the next one coming out? So yeah, actually enjoyed it. She's a big wuss for horror movies. I think she scarred herself for life watching Silence of the Lambs at home by herself one night.
Well, that would scar anyone.
And there was a blackout just as the end scene was playing, you know, the Jodie Foster night vision. So, scarred her life.
That would freak me out too, man.
Okay, so let's have a look at our core cast here. We have, of course, at this time in American TV history, there's like America's sweetheart, Miss Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Breaking it up with a fun fact. Her role,
Julie James.
her role was originally offered to another one of America's sweethearts, Melissa Joan Hart, but she did not want to do a horror movie.
What a spoiler sport. What a spoiler. I'm rewatching this last night. I think this was actually a pretty brave choice for her at the time, because Julie's not really that likable a character. Like, when you look at it, I didn't realize, like, well, Julie's not this all-American bubbly girl that she was used to playing as Sarah on Party of Five at that time. She's, like, morose and not really nice to her former friends or anything like that.
She was also complicit in something that's highly illegal and immoral. So, I don't know. Maybe you're right.
Change your character.
I think she's traumatized and she doesn't know how to cope. And I think
she's a coward.
Well, they're all cowards, really. But she was just so traumatized by it. She just kind of soured up. I don't think she was necessarily miserable to her friends. Just how do you act around someone after you hold them to
when you say to someone, I don't blame you, but I don't want to know you either. That's pretty fucking harsh, man. That's your ex-boyfriend. You're like, whoa.
Well, seriously, like, do you really want to keep reliving that or no?
If it was this guy, I probably would have done the same thing. I'm sorry, but
oh, what?
Freddie Prinze Jr. Oh,
he had to fight for that part.
He should have. I don't know. He's such a doormat in this movie. I was like, oh.
But I don't want to know you either.
I think the character of Ray was written as someone who's been really low-key and quite boring because he was a potential killer, and that's sort of how they wrote those.
Well, then maybe he deserves an Oscar then, because he should have welcome on his forehead.
He auditioned for that part 5 times because he was so nervous about whether he was going to get it or not. I mean, he wasn't a name just then, so he's just kind of this nobody who had a famous father trying to get his big break.
Then he met his big name girlfriend on the set.
Who is Sarah Michelle Gellar as Helen Shivers, the Cuckoo Queen herself. Now, this is season one hiatus?
Just before season 2, yeah.
So this is the time that she was edging for that Scream Queen role, wasn't she? And this in Scream 2, and she had such a bigger role in Scream 2 that was cut down and cut down and cut down into essentially a cameo. But I think she rocked in this. She was, yeah.
She was amazing.
We'll talk more about some of the action later, but we're just talking about the character at the moment. But I think she was rock solid in this part.
She plays a spectacular bitch, right? Like, we all love her as the bitchy person.
And I think there were some nice moments of fragility as well when she was like, especially when after her and Helen were alone together, when she said, "I miss you," and she's like,
her and Julie.
No, her and Julie, sorry.
She's Helen, but yes.
And then she's like, right, I'll get out of the car now. So,
I think Sarah was very, was Buffy by then, right? She was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
She was
Slayer.
Buffy, but and I don't think
to see her in these roles where she was the damsel, I think it didn't, that's probably why Sarah wasn't the screen queen that she could have been, because she's an amazing actress and doing roles. I think that people just want her as Buffy and want to see her be a victim.
Well, her in this movie and the next character we're going to be talking about actually influenced the casting for a future movie called Cruel Intentions. And so
yes.
You guys know who we're going to talk about next.
Oh, we are.
Oh, hell yeah. I watched him last night in Big Sky. So there's
Ryan
a show. It's
Felipe
on Disney Plus.
As Ray.
I think he is just so underrated in like a million different ways, but I also hate him for what he did to our girl Reese. Anyways,
who cares? I love him.
He's very intense, wasn't he? He was super intense in this movie. It's like, brother, calm down.
I dated to his character Barry. I'm pretty sure I've dated.
Oh, we've all dated a Barry. Come on.
Yeah, Barry's the Barry King narcissist. No wonder you like him.
I love dating Barry.
But I think that shower scene probably, you know, was a spring awakening for a lot of young gentlemen out there.
I was just gonna
including
ask,
that.
I was just going to ask, was that your sexual awakening, you?
Oh, that's right. I can't get over how skinny the boys are in this movie. Like in this day and age, like where you've seen like jacked up, like
yeah.
And these guys are skinny little boys. And
that's how I like to be, was a little skinny, twinkish, you know.
But they were very, I think the four of these guys were a very awesome, look at this, look at that cast photo. Oh, hello, 90s.
Yeah, that just about sums up the 90s.
It looks like a bad Dawson's Creek ripoff, doesn't
it? Oh, I love it. Sarah Michelle's like, I'm going to wear a headband. And then Jennifer Love's like, I'm overall. And then they just did it.
Well, hey, funny story about Dawson's Creek. They made a nice little tribute to Dawson's Creek by naming that beach
Dawson's Beach.
There you go. Sprinkle these fun facts in there.
But there was also some really great supporting cast members in here that turned out to be quite famous. Of course, by this time, Johnny Galecki was already famous.
God, but I love him.
What a good dude he was.
Isn't he? Like, you like forget that this guy, like outside of Roseanne, is that good looking. I mean, look at him, nice and clean cut. Ugh.
Yeah, good looking. Although I didn't believe the don't test me, you motherfucker part. I'm like, oh,
really? I didn't believe him either. I'm like, you're not a tough guy, you're darling, you're boyfriend. Shut up.
Don't you test me, motherfucker.
I think this person deserves a bit more for their role.
Anne
Heche is Missy. Jesus. There was something a little bit touched about Missy, wasn't there? God bless.
Look, she delivered that character really well because, you know, this was back in the year. It was the Scooby-Doo of slasher films. Like, who's the killer? Who's the killer? And she's quite believable as someone who was damaged enough to do it. So I really enjoyed it. She was unsettling. Every time Missy was on screen, I was unsettled.
You didn't say anything.
Oh, yeah, especially handling all that meat.
Jesus. Down to the man, like I rewatched both of these last night. Her hand mannerisms and like she ticks a little bit when she like does certain things. You're like, girl, are you?
And she had motive.
She didn't know she had motive, but whatever. And of course, we cannot discount Miss Bridget Wilson at this time, Sampras, I believe.
Oh, I forgot
my favorite.
Bridget Wilson.
Sonya Blade.
Elsa!
Oh, my girl.
Was she in everything in the 90s or what?
she my favorite thing in the 90s. I loved her as Elsa. So you're saying before that Sarah Michelle played Helen as such a bitch, but I think she was very pale in comparison to what a bitch Elsa was. Elsa queen bitch. A twit with a wit. You did not mess with Elsa. It would freeze you out. You would be destroyed socially.
Did you say freeze out?
I did because of Frozen. I was going there.
I caught it. I caught it. Seems like anyways.
Weird that though.
Let's get into this movie, guys.
So yeah, basically, I find as I was going to say before, Scream was the dominant force, obviously, in teen slashes. This movie, and looking at it last night, it does feel very separate to Scream. Whereas Scream is suburban and high school and all this kind of thing, this is that little tick later. Do you know what I mean? This is graduating high school. This is them leaving and growing up. And I didn't feel it until last time, but it feels, after watching Scream very recently, it does feel like a very separate movie. It's like the clones that would follow them. This does feel like those YA horror books that we used to read back in the day, which we're very excited about because Fear Street's coming out this week. I'm going to explode. No one else really cares.
I do.
I'm gonna my next 3 weeks are gonna be like so excited. But the thing I liked about this is it was a bit more of a whodunit mystery. It wasn't a slasher. Yes, there were bodies and like a little bits of that, but all of this movie was about the cat and mouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I mean? Kevin Williamson wrote the script. If his name sounds familiar, it's because he Scream. And he actually started writing this before Scream.
Dawson's Creek.
And yes, obviously.
And Teaching Mrs. Tingle and da-da-da-da.
He wrote everything in the 90s too.
Everything in the late 90s.
So, yeah, it very much feels like a 90s teen film because, you know, I mean, it is, but, you know, it's got the drama and the romance, and it's got some funny parts. And I agree with what you said. It had what Scream didn't, and this was transitioning into the adult world, which Scream didn't really have that kind of transition. They were in high school. Next thing you know, they're in college. You didn't get to see that real transition like you do here. And if I'm comparing the two, I think the Scream characters are a lot more likable.
Definitely.
But I think these guys have their qualities too. I mean, if we're going to go toe-to-toe with Final Girls, obviously Neve Campbell wins and Don't Come For Me, because just don't.
Oh, definitely. I think also the Scream characters were, apart from, you know, some guy from our school that we didn't really like or care about, these guys were actually traumatized from early on in the film. So I don't think they would be that likable. You know, we weren't going to have little pool party scenes and whatever with them. Like, remember when we know someone?
Yeah.
This
incident, obviously, I think the acting in this scene from all of them was like A+. And throughout the film, I think that they all did a pretty good job. Obviously, I've already exposed my. I think he was the biggest link. I think this film wouldn't have suffered for having someone else in that part. But,
who would you have liked in Ray's part in the 90s? Who would we have liked?
Should we have swapped Johnny Galecki and him over?
No, not this. I don't think Johnny Galecki was a big enough name. I think you could have had someone like Barry Watson. Barry Watson from Seventh Heaven, that kind of shaggy looking dude. Someone that didn't look, I think he looked a little bit too similar to Ryan Felipe as well. Like they were both these like blah, blah, dudes, like, but whatever. But he still did well. I just don't like his character. I was like, oh my God, can we please get rid of Ray?
They were looking at Jeremy Sisto for that part.
Oh, interesting. Which
I don't think would have worked because he in the 90s was, you know, kind of the macho alpha dog, and that's kind of what Ryan was. So they had to kind of switch out their roles if that was the case.
But no, I think that especially in that, in the accident scene and the drama after the accident scene when they get rid of the body, they all were pretty, like, spot on. Ryan Felipe, it'd be interesting acting with that dude. He was very intense, is all I'm going to say.
Now, would you guys go in after a fallen tiara? Or would you say, bitch, I'll get you another one, let's go?
No, I understood why, because that was evidence.
It's evidence.
If that body washed up, washes up with that tiara
in your head, you fucked.
Then they, well, Helen terminated definitely, but they all would have been because they were together.
Uh-huh.
Would have she would have just killed them all. Tell her, be like, well, they'll help me. So
yeah, Helen would have folded like a card table. Let's be honest, she'd be like, oh, I know.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that,
that's
very true.
Watching it again last night, there was some good tension scenes, especially watching it in, like, higher definition. Like, I'm so used to my DVD quality. I watched Blu-ray quality. I was like, oh, okay, this is, you see so more, you hear so much
more. There's shadows.
And you can hear the flicking of the medallion.
Oh, okay.
In scenes that I didn't necessarily hear it first off. So, you know, when Julie first arrives home and she's got the note at nighttime and she looks out into the street. You can hear it then.
Flick.
And I'd never noticed it. I'd noticed it in other parts before, but I was like, oh, he was there. Okay, cool. He was actually there seeing all this. But, yeah, the cat and mouse of this movie is probably the thing that made it interesting. Scream definitely had it. Like, do not even quote, like, think that I'm bitching on Scream. Scream had intensity, but Scream had short bursts of intensity. This is a slow burn all the way through.
And build.
Paranoia, basically, going, who is this? Who is this guy? What's going on? What's he going to do? So let's talk about the fishman without identity at the moment.
Okay.
In a town full of fishermen, that's a pretty, like, you know.
Yeah, a garb.
And if, you know, a fishing town, it could be anyone.
Effective too, like very, very effective.
I'm looking at that picture that you just put up and I'm like, he's not very scary.
I think it's when you put it in context of so last night watching him come into Helen's house where she'd just gotten home before she gets a nice little hair chop, like having that figure just float around when she runs into the coat at Missy's house. Like, oh, okay, this thing is everywhere. It's the danger in the small town that could be around any corner.
If that snuck on me at night, I'd flip out too. But, like, looking at him, like, you're not really that intimidating, I suppose.
Yeah, until I think you change your mind about sitting in front of me with his little shiny hook. But
yeah, I suppose. Like I said, if that snuck up on me in the middle of the night, yes, I'm sure my tune would change. But like in the middle of the day and it's staring at you, like, it's just kind of cope.
And Steve, what you just mentioned then, like that scene where Helen comes home after they've been to Miss's house, so they've had all of this stuff happen, and she comes home and she's, and you see this fisherman walking through the house. It's really good suspense. And we got that in Burst and Scream, as you said, but this was like this really sense of dread that was just there. And Bill, and everything about it had that a little bit more of that grisly feel. You know, Helen comes home, her dad's like completely despondent, doesn't care about the girls at all. Who knows what happened to them?
Well, no, she's alive because because when Ray gets... Not Ray, when Barry is bye-byes, the police officer says your parents are very worried about you.
Oh, well, it was pretty clear Daddy was an alcoholic because Daddy is just pumping while he's watching the game.
Well, these were the rich folk of the town as well, we've got to remember. Well, so
Julie is the one without a father.
Julie's the one without a dad, which, yeah.
And her mum hates her.
No, I don't think her mum hates her. I think her mum just had a touch with her.
What's happened to my daughter?
Very strange relationship, that one, isn't it? I feel like there's more backstory to Julie that we didn't get.
That would have been interesting, because do we know what happened to her dad?
No.
Like, I can't remember. Did he leave? Did he die? Like,
no, I assume he's dead.
Okay, so there's probably a little... Okay, so if I assume he's dead, there's a little trauma there. So yeah. Julie's just this, like, fucked up bitch who gets...
Julie's got daddy issues, let's put it that way.
They all had daddy issues in the 90s, come on.
Now, we got to talk about it because it's probably the most famous part of this movie is the chase scene from the Croaky Queen herself.
I think we need to go to Helen's Chase because that was spectacular.
Probably okay, well, what's the lead up to Helen's Chase, though? So first we lose Johnny Galecki.
Johnny's gone at this point.
Well, yeah, gets killed because he was a suspect at one point.
Johnny's gone. Lost Julie's virginity. She lost it on Dawson's Beach. Yep.
Julie's hire's gone.
Barry's gone at this point.
Barry got killed. Oh, Helen was the Croaker Queen, the pageant queen. She's back doing her like duties as she has to hand the crown over to the
She's had a haircut, so it's very much centered around Helen at the moment as well.
Yes. Oh, it's my favourite part. And it's Barry's watching her to keep her safe from above, and he's actually the one in danger.
Yep.
And Barry gets popped off quite violently. Helen's the only one who can see because...
I would like to see an unrated version of this movie, if it's one.
Hmm. That would be interesting.
It probably wasn't shot that way, but I feel like we don't see when these attacks happen. We don't see a lot, which is part of the part of the suspense. But I would imagine what an unrated version would be a little bit bloodier.
Well, Barry got violently killed, and it was kind of fitting. Well, they all bit like really,
but
flogged. Like
for someone that was violently killed, there was no blood. There's one drop of blood on a banister. I'm like.
Did you really notice that? Because like these kills, were alluded to be very violent, and there's not a whole lot.
There's
of blood.
No blood.
Because then Helen put the police officer up there, and there was nothing there.
There was one drop of blood on a banister. That's all there was.
But I reckon this killer was an amazing cleaner. Because look at the job he did on Julie's trunk.
That's true.
That's true.
And he did clean up all that blood after poor Johnny Galecki got the hook through the chin. Like, there was a lot of blood there.
A lot of ice around there, though. That would have clotted.
Yeah, but he bled all over the kettles, the steam. He bled all over those steam kettles, which would have baked that blood on pretty quickly because they're hot.
Anyway,
we're getting into semantics of things that probably shouldn't be thought about.
I know what you did last summer, CSI.
So Helen is basically... calling the police officer a Mayberry ass punk or what she calls him. Reject, Mayberry reject, yes. And they stop in the alleyway. Oh, to help a stranded poor motorist. Also happens to be stuck in the alleyway.
I'm wearing a fisherman slicker.
Now, interesting, this police car scene happens before Scream 2.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Just putting it out there. I believe her. I believe Sarah. I believe she's terrified. I feel like they may have put her through the ringer in this chase scene because everything she does is gold. If there was an Oscar for horror, she probably would have got one.
I love
And this is the epitome of a slasher chase scene too. It's really well done.
Scene. But I'm so frustrated by this scene.
I know, right? We'll talk about the end of it. She manages. She runs. Girl runs. Girl runs a lot.
In her
with
heels.
Cardio. In heels for half of it, yeah. And then, of course, she gets to the store and
her
lovely
impressed.
Sister is very, very, quick to respond. You're what? Elsa. But Elsa's dealt
Elsa's
with
Elsa.
for her
she's not long for this world, poor Elsa. She is concerned then at one point. She's like, hey, my sister,
yeah, when she once
queen,
Helen snaps that up, she's like, oh shit, something's real.
Yeah. And then like by the time poor old Elsa gets to lock the door,
yeah,
goodbye.
But even when Helen's upstairs on the phone and Sarah does this really, really well, He reverts to that kind of little girl scared voice that everyone, or little child scared voice that everyone has when you were little and you wanted to yell out to parents because you were scared but nothing would come out. She does that really well. She's like, Elsa. It's like, oh, you poor bitch. And yeah, there's something a little bit unsettling about that store, which she'd obviously grown up in.
Yeah.
Then becoming this, you know, maze.
Well, the store was a mob too in itself, because just the shadows, the mountains, the fan ahead that was so well, and the sound of that, and all here is the fan just swooshing above her as she's walked silently. It was all so well done.
Okay, can I just say, fuck mannequins, okay? I've seen Maniac mannequins.
Yeah, it was all over, wasn't
can't
it?
Can't do it. Can't do it.
So, yeah, she escapes the fisherman many times. Close calls with the hooks to the feet. Throws herself out a window. Running. And then stops to admire some beautiful 4th of July fireworks.
It's just like you...
Run like three steps away.
All you
three
have
steps
to do.
Away from the street. Stops and you had to look back at a noise.
I went and read some commentary on this chasing, and they were all saying, like, oh, she was so close. Why is she turning around? And yeah, a lot of people were like, he was going to kill her anyway, waiting for her there. She was
if
not
she
getting
was
out.
Moving at, if she was moving at speed like she was, I think there would have been a chance of her getting around him.
Yes.
I mean, was he going to get her eventually? Probably, but wouldn't have gotten her that time.
Wouldn't have gotten her that time. No. She would have been out in the street.
It was so frustrating. It's like, why? It's just like when, you know, they run up the stairs instead of out the door. It's like, what are you doing?
But her kill what was a shock doing? Too, because she was kind of, her and Jennifer were the names kind of back then on this film.
True.
Her kill was a shock because she was Buffy.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Helen was kind of almost thought was going to be a survivor. And because you know who the killer was at the point, I was of the mindset, okay, maybe Julie and Ellen are going to
survive.
Get together and they're going to find out it's Ray or whatever. Like, I'm going through all of these different things. And when she died, I was like, oh my God, I even turned to my mom when I'm like, is she dead? And mom's like, yes.
Yeah. I would have picked Helen over Julie.
I think it would have been a more
interesting. Do.
I feel like there's a lot of, especially lately, I saw on Facebook, there's like a horror characters that should have survived instead of the leads. And that was the
Helen's
picture
there.
That was up. That was the first one. Was Helen over Julie. But,
well, especially because with Julie, like, they want you to be sympathetic to her after all she's been through, but you don't really know what she's been through.
I don't necessarily think they're asking for sympathy. This is the thing. I don't think we're supposed to – they're not leading hard on sympathy angle like with Sydney Prescott where they're like, oh, her mother was murdered. Her mother was murdered. Now her friends are being murdered. Everyone she looks at is being murdered. It's like this shit happened to these kids. And this is how they're dealing with it is more the vibe of this, I feel. Yeah.
Speaking of friends that die, I miss you, Tatum.
So, look – Jennifer Love Hewitt gets a pretty damn good chase scene in a boat. Like, I think they put her through it for that as well. That looked like it would have been intense climbing and ice and all that kind of stuff.
And they did the slasher trope where, you know, the final girl finds the bodies, you know.
Although, was that meant to be Ray? Was that meant to be Ray?
Ray?
Barry, sorry. I always get them too confused.
Barry.
That's meant to be Helen Barry,
right?
Helen
in the ice. Yeah, yes.
That's a really bad Barry mannequin.
I mean, they're all pretty bad mannequins, but...
I think that was actually Sarah that slid out. Yeah, looking at it last night, I think it was actually her, because it was only like a probably 40-second, if that, and it was, if so, it's a pretty impressive mannequin. But anyway, you can go back and look at that yourself.
If that was Sarah, then it wasn't ice because...
Oh, it doesn't look like ice. Oh, closer investigation.
That was
either.
Like clear stuff. I watched the thinking of and it was just...
I can't remember what it's called. I can't remember what it's
Could
called.
Could you imagine Jennifer's with the top in that little top in real ice? There would be some thing happening, girl.
Then you'd, the point, right? Then you'd think they would have like wanted it to be that way, but it wasn't ice because it was meant for her to be able to move very smoothly through, and I can't remember the material that it was.
Let's not forget that the tagline of this movie for a long time was, I know what noobs did last summer.
Well, that iconic shot of her just, what are you waiting for? We're waiting for your top to pop.
You know what?
That's really what it is.
Against today's standards, those aren't big boobies.
They, as listen, as someone with big boobies.
Natural boobies.
But they were natural boobies.
They were natural boobies.
All right, so huge spoiler. The killer is revealed to be one Mr. Ben Willis, Mears Watson, who has killer written all over him. Like as soon as he speaks, you're like, oh God, it's him.
You know,
he looks
looking at him right now, he looks like a real jacked up Mike Rao, doesn't he?
I will kill you. I will kill you.
that dirty jobs guy.
True. And then there's another interesting fight scene. Ray kind of sweeps and saves the day. Ugh.
Yeah, no one believes this. I'm sorry for
you. I don't believe that either.
No one believes. No one
I think Julie could have done it by herself. Julie, that's the problem with these.
Billy stood off.
I think Julie could have done it by herself.
Yep.
But
no,
we needed a Prince Charming.
No one believes you, Ray. Sorry. Moving on.
But yeah, without spoiling too much, that's the end of that first film. Mm-hmm. As I said, we're not getting super specific with it today because we just want you to go back and go, oh, I might watch that movie because that's the idea. And then we thought it was all over. There was a nice little sting in the tail, obviously, in this first one.
And that little flick again of that medallion.
We hear a little ding. And we were all to believe that someday would be a sequel. Little did we realize that someday would be a year later when we got, I still know what you did last summer. I love that the hook is aimed squarely into her cleavage that is now prominently on display.
I mean, it's not squarely. If you're like, I'm looking at it, and it's a little above her.
It's boobie. Going to look. It's going towards what looks like a heart pendant and her clavage. Okay. So you know, cute little symbolism moment. I love. So this is let's look at the box office for it because. Oh, okay. This is why there was a sequel. The budget was $17 million, and then worldwide box office was $125.3 million. Wow.
Wow.
We love it. We love it.
There goes a sequel, I guess.
It's like hilarious that like $17 million, you kind of, like, I know the film looked polished and everything. Jeez, where will that money go? That's a lot of money.
Well, there was a location shoot, obviously, because it was very off place, that one. Yeah, and then we get the big sexy grown-up big sister is what I think of this movie as. This one's like, this next one kind of takes it from that small town, like very natural film. This is glossy slasher film, right?
Yes. And there's
it
a did lot
feel of- a change of, yeah, like you're right. It's a change of gears, though, because it does feel completely different. And I feel Julie is different. She's no longer the little timid, I want to have someone.
Yeah, Julie gets, she kind of gets that Dara vibe. There's a little bit of bubbliness to her. I'm like, oh, that's not who we knew.
You know,
we wanted Helen.
We did want Helen, but instead we got Brandy, and I'm going to take that, honestly. I loved Brandy in the 90s.
You know what? This cast, again, we got very racially diverse for all of a sudden.
The funny thing is, Brandy's role as Carla was written for a white girl, but Brandy kind of knocked it out of the park, so they rewrote it for her.
Mekhi Phifer, yeah.
He was big in the 90s.
Yeah.
We love Mekhi Phifer.
Ugh.
I mean, look at him next to Mekhi Phifer. He just looks so skinny, so like meek. And Mekhi Phifer.
And I'm really sorry, but what is this guy's name? Matthew Settle. There it is.
He was cute. Sorry.
Did he do anything else?
Like, he did a lot of I believe he was in Party 5, but he did a lot of those direct-to-video stuff. He's in He's in one of my favorite ones, which Jeffrey actually loves too, called The In Crowd.
Oh, I know that one.
Settles an asshole in that.
I was gonna watch the other day, and then I thought, like, I turned it on the first 5 minutes. I'm like, nope.
It's a great movie. If you ever watched the In Crowd, you need to watch it with commentary because the two actresses do it, and it is hilarious.
I guess I will do that then.
Hilarious.
You know who else is in? Notable actors are in this that I don't think really credit for their roles. Yes, Jack Black. In dreadlocks, which is regrettable.
Oh, I want to kill that motherfucker.
It's bad casting, Bobby.
I mean, and then the other one who I fucking loved came on screen.
It's going to be Jennifer Esposito. There
it is. Nancy. Jennifer
freaking Esposito. Now, she was just there. It was a crime against Jennifer Esposito. Let's be real.
Look, her...
Wasted.
She
wasted her.
She deserves so much more. I think how she checked out in this movie, and then I got to it, and I was like, are you
very
kidding me?
Very anticlimactic, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was like, are you kidding me?
It was actually supposed to be Nancy at the end, but the way Nancy passes on was originally supposed to be Carla, and then they switched it.
Carla went through it. I feel like this is like they Carla like to punish these female leads in these movies. They're like, all right, we're gonna throw you through this. We're throw you through this.
Yeah,
this is gonna happen.
Just like,
but Carla, you know what? I would take all that for a holiday,
even during hurricane season.
Well, look.
Well, what's going on in the world right now?
I mean, it's beautiful. I would definitely go there. It was Mexico and not the Bahamas. So
yeah,
location,
whatever.
Cheaper. Cheaper. Evan Williamson intended to write the script for this, but he was very busy at the time with a little couple movies that you may know called, The Faculty, Halloween, H2O, maybe a tiny little show called Dawson's Creek. So he had his hands full. He was also.
Are you telling us, Katie, you want to wait for his life to be over?
He, they asked him, will it be yes or will it be sorry? And he said, sorry. He also was supposed to write Scream 3 and he didn't. And that's probably why it was so bad. But that whole.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Interesting. If you are watching this, Uncensored Horror People, and you want us to tackle the Scream series before Scream 5 comes out next year, please comment and let us know. No one's commented on anything yet, but if you want us to do Scream,
but people watch
we will
it,
do it.
So people
watching, so if you're watching, reach out because listen, we will watch something.
We just need the one person to say do Scream, and we'll be like, well, okay, if you want to
How deep would you like us to go? Well, the 7 hour Scream documentary.
The people have asked for it, so we have to give it to them. And, it's only one of Katie's favorite films, so I guess we'll do it. We'll do it. It's all right.
I think this new film did lean heavy on the sentimentality a little bit. I felt that, Julie was actually sad that Helen was dead. She didn't really seem to care that much about Barry because she had that photo. I would care for those abs being gone from the world.
He wasn't
a good dude, but he was still her friend.
No one really deserves to violently.
Deserves to be hooked to death.
Yeah. Really. Well, some people do, but Barry, as big of an ass as he, didn't deserve that.
But I really enjoyed the change of location, though. I thought giving it, and this one did have a lot more blood, but there was still that cat and mouse going on, especially with an island full of new people. Who could it be? Who could it be?
Well, this was also a very dated film, and it doesn't probably mean to be so dated, but you can't make this happen now because. No. There's no
who listens to the radio anymore?
Okay, number one, they win this trip on a radio show where Kla actually gives the wrong answer. But, now... now everyone's got cell phones, Google, and caller ID, and Google, so it just wouldn't work. So this is a very dated movie. And then
and Jenna of Hewitt's breasts are real, so that
they are out. But they are out and proud in this movie.
They are. She is proudly displaying them, and she is also displaying her king skills because back then she had a little career in Japan.
We were gonna. One of the best things this movie gave us was how do I deal?
How do I deal?
Like, Jenna, love Hewitt.
That's a great song, honestly. So
what a great track. What a great track.
Underrated.
But she this cast obviously went through it as well because they are I forgot how long they are wet for a lot of this movie. Could you imagine?
Running through a goddamn hurricane. Come on.
Rain machines.
That rain machine was on high.
Yes, it was.
I threw seeing behind the scenes stuff this and them like in huge thermal coats when they weren't filming because it was just wet. But I can imagine how sick they would have gotten by the end of it.
So what was Matt Settle's character's name? I can't remember.
Oh, Will Benson.
There we go. Okay, so notice that on the vacation scenes that there's no Ray. Where's Ray?
No.
Where is he?
He should have been killed.
He should have. But Ray tells her no, even though she just, you know, proposes a last-minute trip full of sex and debauchery. And he says
no. To the Bahamas.
To the Bahamas. What man in his 20s is going to turn that down? No
Ray.
Man. Well, he immediately regrets his decision and, you know, heads to go catch up with Julie, but then he gets his friend killed and he ends up in the hospital because he gets a
Barry moment and gets run down by his own car.
Just such a douche, Barry. I don't believe any of his.
He's not a hero, let's put it that way.
He's not. And you know what? Freddie Prinze Jr. hasn't even seen this movie because he's so embarrassed by it. You should be embarrassed by it because you were terrible.
I have a feeling he hasn't seen a lot of his movies then.
Well, I mean, the movie itself isn't necessarily terrible. He's terrible.
Yeah.
She's not all that.
The movie, look, if he would have died,
I think it would have been great.
The movie would have been great. We would have got more of this, and this was what was winning. Those three together, yep. I would have watched like another hour and a half more.
Yes. This is the winning team right there. Do you know
what I liked about it too? Julie wasn't a fucking faded wallflower. She picked up that axe and she was like, I'm going to fuck you up. She was not having it this time. She was over it. She was like, oh, my grave stays empty. I'm like, okay, rock on, girl.
Will we enjoy that when a girl finds her her girl power and just kind of gets going? I liked it. I liked Julie a lot more in this movie, mostly because she was just fed up and done with it and finally just stood up for herself.
Yeah. She was done quicker than Sydney was done. It took Sydney to the end of Scream 2 to be done. But
I still like Sydney better.
But I feel like if you look Julie the wrong way, she may have shanked you. She was like, I will kill you.
I will kill you. I'm done with this.
I will kill you. Well, she at least stabbed Carla half times. But whatever.
That's true.
But of course, without spoiling, old mate's back. He just like, and look at how big that hook is this time.
Well,
that hook is huge. He had an upgrade.
The hook.
So, huge spoiler alert, the ever cute and beautiful Matthew Settle, who was trying to, you know, get into Julie's pants, just happens to be Ben Wilson's son.
Will Ben.
Will Ben.
Ben's son. Did anyone else
go? Was there in front of us?
Yeah. Was this during a writer's strike and we never went back and cleaned that up? No. Okay.
Kevin Wilson wouldn't have let that happen.
I feel like something slipped through the gates there. It's like, oops, okay.
Oh,
but God. Look, I feel like this second movie gets a lot of hate when it doesn't deserve it. I very seldom watch that first movie without watching this second one straight away. Which is why
they're very different films, as you said. The tones is very different. So to watch them both. Yeah, there's definitely a gear change. It's not bad. I think it's more slasher though, whereas the first film was a suspense film.
I don't hate these films. They don't hold up as nicely as the Scream films. I'm going to say that. I also really hate Freddie Prinze Jr. as the hero because he's really not believable.
Especially sweeping it at the last minute. It's just like, I don't think she did.
She didn't need him. She did not need him.
And this is the difference between Scream and I Know Last Summer. Mm-hmm. They're still fixated on the, you know, I have a man come and rescue me. Whereas, you know, by the end of Scream 1, by the end of Scream 2, by the end of Scream 3, Sydney's by herself with the killer. Do you know what I mean?
Sydney's just like, hold my beer, I got this.
Yeah. And I feel like they gave Julie a bit of short shrift. Obviously, so the budget for this one was $24 million. It only ended up making $84 million. So not as big a success.
Terrible.
I know, but not as big a success.
They didn't lose any money.
They tripled the budget.
Usually tripling the budget is where they start to talk about a sequel. I find it strange that they didn't
do a third.
Consider a
funny story. They did do a third.
Well, they did, but we don't talk about that.
And no. with these original characters, like with Julie, I'm surprised, and I don't doubt that there's probably a trip floating around Hollywood now. With the success of Halloween 2018, Julie James may come back to us one day.
And Scream 5. Yeah,
but we are going to see a TV series.
Oh, gosh.
I honestly think this would do better on TV than it did on the big screen.
I feel like it'll definitely be a slow burn.
Scream?
But Scream, the TV series,
it wasn't this bad.
The remake is actually going to take part from the original book and the movie and kind of cross-pollinate them a bit more. So I think it's going to be more of that whodunit than it is.
I think it'll do really well as a TV show, honestly. I think Scream did okay as its TV show, but it doesn't translate super well for a TV show.
No, and they couldn't, when they didn't use Ghostface, obviously that was going to fuck him hardcore.
Yeah.
Look, let us know what you think of I Know What You Did Last Summer, because I've got a little happy place in my heart for it. As I said, rewatching them again, as I said to Luke last night, these are actually really good films. Like in the space of what was to come after them, you know, that late 90s, early 2000s, everything was meta, everything was da 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 da. These two movies, Scream, Urban Legend, The Faculty.
Oh,
they Urban stand Legend. Out. They stand out.
So good.
Yeah, Urban they stand Legend. Out for me as quality. Like,
they were solid. I remember there was always that big back, had the 80s such a crowd, sort of like, you don't like this 90s tongue in cheek, self aware stuff. But, you know, looking on the whole thing, I think those are great horror films. They're good slasher flicks. I like what they did at the time, and I like to revisit it as well. Like, you know, when I sit there, you know, I'm the same, Steve. I say, this is a solid flick.
I agree.
Good characters, good acting.
Besides Freddie, honestly, and even in that second movie, he's the weak link.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Freddie, I think if they replaced him, the movies would be better. Sorry,
so you don't want Ray included in the new one.
No,
you
know, well,
have Ray back. We just can't have Freddy back. I think Ray would have been a fine character if you had a better actor.
In someone else's hands.
Someone else could have done it better. And I like these movies. I think they're solid. I just don't think they hold up as well as Scream.
But I like them. This is what I like. They are place and time movies. You know, you want to feel the 90s, you want to feel a small coastal town in the 90s, watch this. You want suburbia in the 90s, go watch Scream. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, the nostalgia factor is there. I think it's great. I mean, you couldn't have the 90s without it. Like, this was part of the movement to revitalize horror, and it did what it had to do.
Yeah, it's the name that comes up straight after Scream.
Right.
I know, last summer.
Oh, it absolutely did what it's meant to do, and you know, to revamp horror.
So we say to you, cheers. I know we did last summer. Tell us, we're going to judge the movies together.
Okay.
Out of five hook hands, what do we give them? Katie?
2.5.
2.5? Okay.
For both of them or for part one?
For both of them. We're looking at them together.
For both of them together, I'll bump it up to 3 for both of them. But for the first one, maybe 2.5.
She's harsh, isn't she?
She's horrible.
She's harsh. Luke? What about you?
Look. Okay, so how we're going to go with this one? I would give part one maybe 4.5. I would give part two maybe 3.5. So let's just leave it at 4.
You're generous.
4 out of 5. Yeah, no, I think 2 was weaker.
I'm going to go 4 as well. I think the strength of 1 and the strength of I really liked the aesthetic of the second one. I liked that darker, kind of creepier, islandy kind of thing. I dug that. I don't dig Ray, so he gets he gets minuses.
You lost the hook for Ray.
Yeah, we lost a whole hook for Ray for the casting. But yeah, I'm gonna go with 4 as well. So if you if you're watching, why don't you tell us how many hooks you gave to I know we did last summer. And we're going to be back again early, probably very, very quickly, quicker than you'd like, maybe.
Talking about the 90s and talking about Fear Street.
Yes, Fear Street Part 1, that's right. I've committed us to doing a show on every Fear Street movie and probably a recap show, actually. We're probably going to need to digest the trilogy.
Let's talk about this all day.
If you're a millennial... / elder millennial and love Fear Street, come join us for the Fear Street saga. It's going to be amazing. Until then, thank you very much for joining us today, Luke and Katie. And in the words of Ben Willett, if you leave a man for dead, make sure he's really dead.
What are you waiting for?
Happy 4th of July, Julie.